This episode is brought to you by Fortis et Fidelis, honoring the brave and faithful service of our fallen. The free will never forget.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Brave and Faithful podcast. Today, special guests, I served with this man, during my first few years in Navy, being with the Marines, 1-7 specifically. He's a Marine veteran. He's also an entrepreneur with a couple businesses going on and recently started his own podcast as well. I have none other than Matt Amos. What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. We were talking before we went live here, and it's been a while. About 2006, 2007 when I left Hawaiian Palms, and I know you kind of continued with your service, and we'll talk about that later.
Sure.
But yeah, it's just great to connect and see other active duty and veterans just doing great things out there, even though under certain circumstances. What happened in the past. You're just one of those guys that are just putting our community in a positive light. So I thank you for that.
I appreciate that, man. You're doing the same thing. And I think, together we can spread that a little bit more.
Awesome, man. So, so for those who, I like to talk about the service and kind of like, what they did. Can you just tell our audience, when did you join and, who were you with and deployments and things like that?
Sure. Yeah. So I joined December of 2003. No, actually I entered the delayed entry program April of 2003. And then strangely enough, I was scheduled to go to boot camp over Christmas. And then I got booted because they didn't have enough seats at camp. So my recruiter spent a lot of time trying to convince me not to leave or to get cold feet. And I was like, man, I'm good to go, just whenever. So I ended up leaving for boot camp January 4th of 2004. Okay. And then my first duty station was with 1st Battalion 7th Marines out there in 29 Palms with you guys. Did two deployments there. Both of those were to Iraq. And then I re-enlisted in 2007 and took a I&I billet or an inspector instructor billet in Kansas City, just to be closer to home for 18 months. And then finished out with 1st Battalion 5th Marines at Camp Pendleton. They have deployed to Afghanistan with them.
Right. Just like I said, just to kind of go over your career, right? You've done two deployments in Iraq and then one to Afghanistan. And in Iraq and Afghanistan, you were wounded, right? Both times.
Yeah.
So the first time was your second deployment in Iraq, and then your first deployment in Afghanistan. If you don't mind, can you share to the audience who might not know what happened and how were you able to kind of overcome those experiences or those obstacles?
Sure. Yeah. So the first injury took place in August of 2006. We were on a foot patrol coming back to the PB or I don't even know what we called it back then, but I think it was
BP.
BP, yeah. So there were PBs in Afghanistan, but BP Veracruz, and we were coming back, and there was a daisy chain IED of six 155s, two in each hole, dispersed to try to get an entire patrol, and that one ended up killing our point man, Jeremy Long. And then I was basically right behind him to his left. And then it got a couple of guys behind us with, shrapnel and whatnot. So that was, got medevaced out of there, and ended up basically, cause we were, I think about 30 days out from, going home, and, got medevac to Al-Qaim, or yeah, was it Al-Qaim? And was at the hospital there, and then basically did the the train station there, wherever we were at.
Yeah, I think that Al-Qaim was the main. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was there and finished out my deployment there at battalion headquarters, and then went home with everybody on that one. You know, fast forward. After I came back from that, I had to make a decision if I wanted to reenlist again. And so I talked to my wife. I loved what we did. I loved what we were doing.
Right.
I thought what we were doing was making a positive impact on the people that were there. I know a lot of people are kind of torn about Iraq, but the people that we were able to talk to, the people that we helped, wanted us there. They needed us there, but their main objective was to not keep us there any longer than we needed to be there.
Right.
And so I felt very good about what we were doing and had no issues with that whatsoever. And talked with my wife and we decided that, I wanted to stay in, but I wanted to make sure it was okay with her. And she said, well, you know, I'd sure like you to be home if you could, but I support whatever you do. And so when I reenlisted, I requested an I&I billet, which was basically non-deployable.
Okay.
And went with them for 18 months and ended up doing a little cruise down to Peru to train some Peruvian Marines and it's called Partnership of the Americas. And my only non-combat deployment, really, and my only time on a naval ship, which was the Boxer. And that was an incredible experience to be able to be on ship. Was again there at 24th Marines for about 18 months, and then got orders to 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, and had basically a year workup with my guys. I was a squad leader at the time, E5 sergeant. And
hey, before you cover your deployment to Afghanistan,
sure,
I just want to go over and kind of commend your wife as well. I mean, it's not easy, you just experience, being that incident with the IED, right? You got injured.
Yeah.
You know, I just, how were you able to convince your wife? And I know she's very supportive and cares about, what you wanted to do and what you, in your career. But how were you able to just let her know and, convince her, even though she, to her, it might, you going back, there's a possibility, there's always a possibility that you might get injured again. How were you able to convince her about that?
Yeah, I think the 18 months back home kind of convinced her a little bit. But again, she supports whatever I do, and I loved what I did. And so she right. She didn't want to stand in the way of that. And, funny story, we were, we went to high school together, and, when you get out of boot camp, or when you're in boot camp, they tell you when you get coming up on your 10 days of leave from boot camp, don't you idiots go out and get married. And, well, she and I got married, on that 10 day leave, and, we're going on, in April, it'll be 17 years. So,
congrats, man. Congrats to you.
Yeah. Guys. Yeah. Pretty incredible, especially with the statistics of, military, right. Marriages. She stuck beside me the whole time, and I'm grateful for that. And no complaints. I mean, we are where we are because of where we've been and what we've done. So, right. And I don't think either of us would change it.
So, going back to what you were saying, so you got orders to 1-5, you said.
Yep.
And then.
Yep.
So you were there for about a year, and then you guys deployed to Afghanistan.
Yep. Yeah. So I got a good year of training with my guys. Whereas, my first deployment with 1-7, I was with 1-7 for about 30 days before we were gone to the desert. Wow, yeah. So, good workup and, good group of guys, great leadership in that battalion. And I think I was again, in country for right around a little over 3 months. And, you know, we were out on a foot patrol again and going down a narrow alleyway. And I'd sent, you know, five guys, a security team through the alleyway, because, you know, those guys like to ambush on the other side of an IED. And so, or, you know, just the opposite side of an alley, an enclosed area where they've got you canalized and you're just basically sitting ducks. And so I sent a sweep team with a security team through, and they didn't find anything. And so they, you know, they set up security on the other side. And then I was like, all right, those guys are through. And I wanted to be the first one through to kind of get a visual on the other side of the alleyway. And so I was the next one through, and I must have just stepped off the line that they had drawn, and you know, low metallic signature. There's no way those guys would have found it. And I felt the ground go soft underneath my feet, and then felt the blast and the heat. And you know, it launched me about 10 feet in the air, because I know, because I was looking for a trigger man, because I was that high up, and I was like, well, there's no trigger man, so it's we're good there.
You had that sense to even look up, even though you were up there. Like, you had that sense to just look.
Yeah. It, well, because, you know, everything happens in slow motion, right? So your mind's going a million miles an hour, and you're just processing everything so fast. But I didn't see any of that. And, you know, my next thought was, again, are you serious? And it basically launchered me, if you know what that means, where it just kind of fold you in half. And landed on my pelvis, and the you know, and I'm pretty much, I didn't get knocked out on either explosion, which is very fortunate. So I was conscious the whole time, was able to see what was going on, and, you know, letting the guys know, hey, sweep up to me slowly, wherever there's one, there's probably more. And fortunately, nobody else was hurt in the blast where I stepped on something, because that would have killed me to have somebody else injured at my foot. And basically, they started an IV on me, and both my feet were still attached at the time. They were just dangling there. I couldn't move them at all. So they started an IV, and then I heard the call over the radio, you know, hey, you know, urgent surgical, double amp. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess that's where we're at. And you know, you gotta have a sense of humor about it, really, because it is just kind of funny, all the little things that go through your head. But so they put me on a stretcher, and then they got the medevac vehicles to the road, and then they loaded me on like a back of a Humvee type of deal, and then drove me back to the helipad, which is what at PB Wishton. And at some point during that transport, my IV had popped out, and so there I'm laying on the helipad, and basically, you know, bleeding out. I got the tourniquets on and everything. You know, I had the corpsman that was with me broke a minesweeper to fashioned it into a hasty splint, because my left knee was dislocated. And it's actually a technique that they now teach at the school that the corpsmen go to, so I thought that was pretty awesome. But very quick thinking on his part to stabilize and splint that knee. But we're back at the helipad waiting on the bird to touch down, and the other corpsman that was there was like, he, you know, we need to get a line in him. And said, my veins had collapsed at that point, so they couldn't establish a normal IV. And they're like, we need to do an IO. And I was like, no, you don't. I'm good, man. And they brought that thing toward me. And I was like, doc, if you touch me with that thing, I'm going to kill you. And he goes, man, I'm sorry, I got to do it. And then put that thing in my chest and plunged that needle through my sternum, and started the IV, and, you know, ultimately saved my life. Fast forward a little bit, after coming back, that he didn't talk to me for probably 4 months, because I think he was honestly terrified that I was going to kill him. I mean, you know, I owe him my life, really, you know, right. Saved my life. And you know, all credit to you, corpsman, for what you do, because it's a tough job, and you guys do a lot, and we Marines appreciate you for sure. But got on the bird, and it was a British bird, and yeah. I was going to Bastion, and the last thing I remember was getting on the bird and one of the guys saying, "We got you, mate," and I was out. So woke up in Launchdual. I don't remember anything about Bastion. Woke up in Launchdual a couple of times. One of my Marines had been hit in a with another IED a couple of days before, and okay. they were in a vehicle and had driven over it. So the three of them were concussed pretty bad, and one of them had already had like three concussions. And so the protocol was to send them back to Launchdual to get exams done on their brain and do all that stuff. So he was there, and I got to see him. They woke me up to see him, and then I remember waking up on the airplane on the way to the United States for a little bit, and then landed in stateside, went to Bethesda, and I don't remember a whole lot from Bethesda. I think I woke up a couple of times, but I was basically in an induced coma, so they'd only wake me up to sign the waivers for surgery and all that. Mm-hmm. And I was in and out of surgery basically every other day, so it was a day on surgery, day off surgery. And I started out bilateral below the knee on both sides, and due to bacteria in the dirt, I ended up above knee on my right and below knee on my left, with a fractured hip, dislocated knee, fractured femur, and I think that was really about it. I do have one testicle now, which is pretty sweet because it hangs out in the middle. I don't know if that's inappropriate. I don't know if that's inappropriate for the audience or not. Had all my major surgeries done there at Bethesda, and then got transferred because we were living in San Diego at the time. And so got transferred over to Naval Medical Center, San Diego, or Balboa. And finished up all my, I had a couple of more surgeries there that weren't very major. And then, one of them was major. I did have a colostomy bag for 2 years, and then they reversed that at Balboa. And then basically just kind of 2 years of rehab and learning to walk with prosthetics and not doing very well with them.
How long was the rehab for you? How long was that?
So, I spent about 2 years in rehab. Okay. I was injured in June, and I left Balboa in October. I was inpatient until from June to October, and then was basically kind of in an outpatient treatment type of deal where I would go to my appointments and physical therapy.
So I was kind of reading some of your bio. Even while you were in rehab, you also went back to school, correct? Did you finish your degree as well?
No, I didn't finish my degree. I did go back to school. And I started going to school when I was at 24th Marines, because it was more of a kind of a 7-to-4 job. And so my degree path was fish and wildlife biology, which is what interests me the most. And ended up basically having some issues with professors because I was at a school that didn't align with my my personal values. Okay. And so I quit school basically just started doing all the learning on my own, reading anything I could to learn what I needed. And ultimately, a degree for me wasn't in my, I didn't need one really for what I wanted to do. I wanted to start my own business. The fish and wildlife stuff was just for me personally, for my own hunting. Because I've got a small hunting piece, here in Kansas, and try to manage the wildlife to the best that I can. And that's what I was basically trying to go to school to learn.
Hey everyone, Raiden here. And if you haven't heard, we were recently named one of the top 25 military veteran hosted podcasts by Podcast Magazine. And I just want to take this time to thank you all for your support, not only with this podcast, but also in supporting our brand, Fortis et Fidelis, and in helping us create and provide memorial coins for families of the fallen. So I appreciate y'all. Till then, enjoy this episode. Thanks.
So yeah, let's go over that, the business. You know, even after, you know, being wounded two times, you know, you're a combat veteran, you went through a long rehab. You had 2 years of rehab. And then after that, you got out of the Marine Corps. I mean, what kept you, you know, what kept you going? What led you to, you know, starting a business, multiple businesses, and into what you're doing now?
Yeah, you know, I think it was, you know, I had a lot of time to think during my recovery, because I was basically laid up for a long, long time. Right. And, you know, just what do I want to do now? And my first and foremost, you know, I was like, I want to hunt. I want to be able to hunt again. So I need to figure that out. And got involved with an organization called Wounded Warrior Outdoors. And they showed me how to do that. And I've used that. And been able to do all kinds of hunts all over the world. And kind of through that program, well, let me back up. So when I got out, we went through the, you know, your standard transition course, that everybody goes through. Right. And, but I, Semper Fi Fund, took care of me on another one, and they sent me to, one called Semper Fi Odyssey. And it's run by General Jones. He's a retired Marine Corps general. And it's a week-long transition transition course where you are in Pennsylvania, and that's all it is, all day, every day. And they institute all the things, or they teach you kind of all the things that you need to be successful in life, not just in business or a job. It teaches you how to be successful, you know, where you have a foundation of faith, and you've got the, you know, you've got your physical and mental well-being, and that triangle is what leads to success. So if one of those, and the kind of the way they taught it is, if one of those is out of balance, you know, life's not going to be too good. So if you're, you know, if you're not keeping up with your physical fitness, it's not going to be good. If you're not keeping up with your mental fitness, it's not going to be good. And if you don't have faith in something, then you don't have anything to stand on. So that really spoke to me, you know, because I am a believer, and I think my faith kind of got me through a lot of that stuff. To where, you know, and I think I don't have any of that PTSD, fortunately. I don't know what that's like, and I sympathize with those guys that do, because I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. But you know, but they taught that really well, and there were a bunch of people interviewing, and then they had you know, they brought in big corporations to interview and potentially offer jobs to veterans at that course. But my path was entrepreneurship. And there were guys there that helped lead me through that, and hold me accountable to it. And then on the Wounded Warrior Outdoors side, I met so many people that have owned their own business, very successful people, who've kind of mentored me through the process. And that's kind of how I learned how to do everything. Okay. In the course of all that, you know, I struggled with prosthetics. I didn't leave the hospital, you know, walking on prosthetics, you know, just going day to day wearing prosthetics. I was using two canes to get around, and the prosthetics were painful. And it took me about 3 years after retirement. So I retired in 2013. And 2013? Yeah. But I got on prosthetics basically beginning of 2012. So 2015. Or late 2014, I was at a hunting convention and saw this this other guy walking around, and he kept looking at me weird, and I was like, well, he's looking at the leg, you know, because I make a big show whenever I walk anywhere with two canes. I just look goofy. And he stopped me, and he's like, hey man, you know, how long have you had those legs, and where do you get them? You know, I told him where I was going and what I was doing, and he pulled up his pant leg and showed me that he was an above knee amputee as well. Okay. And he goes, man, you need to go see Steve Peoples at Peoples Prosthetics in Wichita. And I was like, you know, I've heard the name, but he's not on the VA contract. And so it wasn't on the list of providers that I could choose from initially. And he's like, well, man, we need to call him right now. And I was like, man, it's Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Nobody wants to be bothered with work at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning. So give me the business card and I promise that I will call him on Monday. And so I took the card and left the convention. And I live about 45 minutes outside of town. And so I was like, well, I'm in town and I got a coupon with my admission to that place. And so I was like, well, I'm gonna stop by and get some arrows for my bow while I'm here, because I'm not a very good bow hunter. I lose a lot of them and need to buy some more. So I'm standing in line waiting to pay for these arrows. And the guy behind me taps me on the shoulder and goes, hey, are you a vet? And I was like, yeah, I'm a vet. And we got to talking a little bit. And then he starts asking me about the legs and how that happened. And I just kind of, you know, whatever, just kind of a general conversation, really. And then paid for my stuff. And as I'm walking out, he goes, hey, man, he goes, I just want to tell you thanks for your service. And if you ever need any help with those things, this is kind of what I do for a living. My name's Steve Peoples, and I have a shop here in town. And I was like, yeah, I pulled the card out of my pocket. And I go, this Steve Peoples? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. He goes, where'd you get that? And I was like, literally, dude, 15 minutes ago at the hunting convention. And so it took me about 6 months to go see him, just working through the VA system. The first set of sockets he made me, I dropped the canes in his office that day, and I haven't used them since. Wow. And so it was pretty amazing. And that right there kind of jump started again my recovery, and really made me see that there were things beyond what I was able to currently do. And you know, I had shortly after that, you know, I just started my business, and then Steve and I were talking one day, and
tell us about that business. Tell the audience about what business were you
Yeah, making. It's called Admiral's Pennant. It's a beard oil company. And you know, after I retired, I basically grew the beard and said, I'm not shaving again, ever, I don't think. And
and if you guys are watching this later on YouTube, like, he's got a pretty sweet beard. Like, check out his beard.
it's growing back. Right. I've trimmed it up a couple of times, but you know, with coronavirus going on, I just said screw it, let it all go. So I've let my hair go, I've let my beard go, and just whatever, it's going to be what it's going to be. But you know, good for business too, because you know, I've got a product that caters to beards. Right. And so you know, started that business back in 2015, we've been going for the last 6 years. And no complaints about that. It was it's been a learning curve, but especially with trying to figure out social media and all their algorithms and trying to figure out the best ways to advertise and market your product. And so it's been eye-opening. And it was meant to be kind of a stepping stone for me. I wanted to start that business because ultimately I wanted to open up a kind of like a hunting club. So you've got like country clubs and stuff like that. Well, I wanted to open up something like that that had to do with not necessarily a hunting club, but a gun club, with you know, first class accommodations and, you know, place that people would hold weddings at and stuff like that. And that amount of money up front is pretty substantial for a first time business owner. There's not too many people that are going to loan that money to somebody with no experience. And so I started the beard company as kind of a catalyst for that, but ended up, you know, life happens and things change, and you end up kind of falling where I think when you pay attention, you kind of fall into where you need to be. And, you know, with what those prosthetics did for me, and knowing how many people were out there struggling with the same type of issues that I had, and I just didn't know what I didn't know. And I started going up to the prosthetics office every day and just talking to new patients and trying to mentor them a little bit, encourage them, let them know that, hey man, this is just the beginning. It's going to get a heck of a lot better, you know? And one day I was sitting in there and we were working with a patient that was in his mid 80s and had just lost his leg above the knee, farmer. Steve had, you know, been trying to explain a technique to him to get that prosthetic knee to swing. And it just wasn't clicking with him. So I got up and kind of described it to him and he did it, you know, and I don't know what it was, you know, seeing the demonstration or just seeing somebody else in that situation, kind of take the lead on that and show them how to do it. And it was pretty awesome moment for me to see that, kind of light bulb moment for that person.
Right.
And it's kind of at the same time, you know, Steve said, well, you know, you keep showing up like this and doing that, you know, we might have to hire you. And I was like, ha ha ha, you know, funny. Cause I just started my company. So, you know, fast forward just a few short months and I went in and I really thought about that. And I was like, you know, I've got this beard oil company and I've got aspirations to build this, this gun club, but maybe that's not what ultimately is in my cards.
Okay.
And I was like, maybe I can really impact more people and impact lives if I'm here, helping people with prosthetics. Maybe that's what I'm meant to do. And so, a lot of soul searching and eventually went back and said, you know, hey, if you're serious, let's do this thing. And so he worked it out and actually created a position for me at the office. And I've been working there since 2015. And, you know, just being able to see people overcome their challenges every day. And so it's awesome to be able to see somebody at their lowest when they think life's over, and encourage them, mentor them, and see them take those first steps and see that light bulb go off. And then, you know, you fast forward on them 6-8 months and, you know, they're outperforming me. They're doing more things than I'm able to do, you know, and it's pretty exciting and humbling to be able to be a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like God works in mysterious ways, right? Like your chance encounter with Steve, you said, and then, you know, you just going back to the to his clinic and, you know, and kind of just helping out people, and eventually that's what you're, you know, what you end up doing now is just mentoring and helping others in a positive way, right? Like it's just crazy how that works.
Yeah, you know, and I think really what it comes down to is you've basically just kind of got to turn your mind off and listen and pay attention to those things, you know, and not try to force your own path or what you think is best for you, but listen and have that faith and just let that faith guide you.
Yo, so Matt, just talking about, you know, business and currently what you're doing now, what would you say has been, I wouldn't say worse, but some of the difficult moments you had, and tell us how were you able to overcome those moments?
You know, in all honesty, and I don't mean this to sound like bravado, you know, not necessarily bragging, I guess I can't find the right word, but I really haven't had any major challenges. And I really think that comes from just being able to be flexible and understand that you can't control everything and that there's a reason that everything happens. And so not necessarily dealing with the challenge, but dealing with the why. So why did this happen and what can I do to do better? And I can't honestly think of a certain situation where I was like, man, this has just been really tough to get through. You know, the prosthetics are honestly were my biggest challenge. And Steve fixed all that for me. So I really haven't had too many on the business side of things. It's not that big of a challenge whatsoever, you know, as opposed to some of the challenges that people face every day. But I would honestly say that marketing is my biggest challenge because I don't understand it. I read everything on it. I try to read up as much as I can, but I can't figure that out. So I just kind of, well, I guess most recently kind of, I was frustrated with Facebook and a lot of the social media platforms and what they were doing to censor people. And so I basically cut, I made the decision to cut all of my advertising on Facebook and not put a penny more into their platform. And until they fix themselves. And that's pretty much why I started my own podcast. And so I guess that would be one of the challenges that I had to overcome was kind of that censorship, because we are a pro-America company. We are we support our military 100%. We love this country, even though, some of the leaders that are out there in our government might not be our favorite. We stand behind those leaders, and we hope and pray that they make the absolute best decisions for us possible. But I ended up basically just kind of starting a podcast in order to, sponsored by Admiral's Pennant, in order to kind of take charge of our own advertising. And we had more avenues to get our brand out than just Facebook, and more avenues that if one gets shut down, we have others to take up for that. So that's been kind of the biggest challenge recently.
Yeah, I just want to highlight what you just said in the beginning there, and kind of, I love what your mindset, like your outlook in life. I think that's what it is. It's just your mindset. You have a strong up here, right? Strong mind, and you have such a positive outlook in life that you don't really see, whereas most people might see things as a challenge. You see it more of as like, you know, how do I get past this and how do I overcome this? You know, you don't. And I love that.
Yeah. Mindset. I think you're absolutely correct. I think it's more of a mentality than anything else. And just being, trying to remain positive and be thankful in every situation. Because I think and I'm the same way, you know, I can get angry. I can get upset about things, but it doesn't do us any good right. to be in that place. I've really absolutely done my best to remain positive in everything. And I don't make resolutions whatsoever. 2020 was a difficult year for everybody. And, you saw a lot of division among our citizens. And that division was basically drawn straight through like party lines. And, that's not what we're about. And, I found myself kind of arguing with people on social media in 2020 about different things. And it just wasn't doing anybody any good, because you can't read inflection. You can't read tone. You can't read sarcasm in a text.
Right.
And so it's very difficult to communicate over social media. And so for 2021, I told myself, I am going to step back. I'm not going to argue with anybody on Facebook. I'm going to take a positive approach to 2021 and just try to engage people on both sides of the aisle and try to understand them a little bit more and figure out their why they feel certain ways and why they do certain things, and have a discussion on Facebook. And it's been difficult because everybody's kind of guarded on Facebook. You make a comment, you ask questions, and people automatically assume that you're trying to
you're attacking them or something.
You're trying to get a buddy of mine called it get a political win. Yeah. And I was like, you're exactly right, that's what they think. And so trying to break down those barriers and have an actual discussion, and it takes a while for those to take place. If somebody and I are fundamentally different on the way we think, I've kind of instituted what I call coffee and a donut, and invite those people to sit down with me and have an actual discussion in person where we can actually talk and learn about each other, figure out who we are, where we grew up, where'd we get to where we're at, and just have a discussion, because it's a lot harder to hate somebody that even if we have differences of opinion, we can still talk and find common ground that we can stand on it and be friends on. So that's kind of been my approach to 2020. And even when I, you know, retired, going through all that therapy and everything, I tried to keep a positive mental attitude. And I think I did a pretty good job of it. And I'm turning it up another notch in 2021. And I can tell you it's been a heck of a lot better. I'm a lot more relaxed. I'm a lot less stressed. And I don't worry about it. You know, I don't worry about anything. It's going to take care of itself. As long as those people realize that, hey, you know, I love this country. I love what it stands for. I love what that flag represents. And the guys that fight to guys and girls who fight to defend that. And if we can talk about that, we have that on a common ground, and I think we can build a friendship off of that. And we just have different views of how that's supposed to work. And I'm open to learning those views. And that's kind of my goal for 2021, is learning the other side of the coin.
Yeah, I think that's where, we all needed learn. That's where we all need to take advice, is like, you know, just listening to, no matter what side you're on, just open your ears, you know, don't talk for a minute and just listen to what they're saying.
Yeah. And I did see, I saw a meme the other day that said, you're not learning if you're talking. So shut up and listen. And that's perfect. That's kind of my mantra for 2021.
All right. So guys, if you're just listening and talking to Matt Amos, wounded combat veteran. So Matt, my next question for anyone that's listening, that, you know, that maybe they're a veteran or they're still active duty and they're, you know, about to get out, transition into the civilian world, what are some actionable steps that they can, you know, that can take right now to, you know, help them in pursuit of whatever they want to do in their next in their next mission?
Yeah, I would say you know, it kind of starts with the transition program that you've got there at whatever base that you're at, and really paying attention and doing your due diligence during that time, because there is a lot of time during that course to do your own research you know, the biggest thing that I've noticed is in anything that I've done, whether it be volunteering for Wounded Warrior Outdoors, working for People's Prosthetics, you know, running Admiral's Pennant, you know, even the podcast that I have, the biggest thing is networking. And if you can meet people, put yourself out there, and really be engaged with that person and be real with them. Don't try to put up a front, just be you, because those people, that's what those people are looking for. You know, if they hire somebody who was putting on a front, you know, 6 months later they change and they become the real them, well, that real them is not working out. And so be the real you and let those people hire the real you. You know, do something that you're passionate about. Don't just try to find the first job. I know it's extremely hard to do in the military. It's extremely hard for me, but save your money so that when you get out, you've got the ability to look for that job without just jumping into something that takes up all your time where you can't work on personal progress and, you know, searching and putting in the work to get that job that you want. School through the, you know, the military and the GI Bill is phenomenal. If that is your goal, do that. Because the incentives to go to school are pretty great, and you can learn a lot and while you're going to school, because, you know, even a full-time load, there's still a lot of time when you get out of the military and you go to school. I mean, you have a lot of free time on your hands and there's a lot of free time to get in trouble. Yeah. But use that free time to figure out exactly what you want to do and then start pursuing that immediately, because, chances are, if your job doesn't require a degree, you know, if you're not going to try to be a neurosurgeon or, you know, a dentist, chances are you will find that job before you graduate. And, you know, but again, it's just putting yourself out there.
Yeah. I think it just goes back to like, you control your own destiny, right? Like you got to find your next purpose or passion, that whatever you're looking for, whether that be, you know, going through a traditional school, or even if that thing that you want to do doesn't require school, you just got to, you know, kind of focused. And like you said, just take care or take advantage of the programs and the what the military offers, you know, with the GI Bill, with
absolutely,
and things like that. So, so you mentioned earlier,
you know, and
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, and be sure that you take advantage of the VA. Yeah. I know a lot of guys that don't go there because they're like, oh, I don't rate, you know, I don't want to deal with that. Get into the VA, get through. It's a painful process, but get through it and do it, because that is invaluable to you going down the road. And that can alleviate a lot of stress down the road. So I highly recommend that, to get all that stuff in order so that you're taken care of. And don't be afraid to, reach out. There are tons of organizations out there. Don't let, I call it, I think I said it the other day and I just like the way it sounded, but don't let pride get in the way of progress. And, you know, we're big, tough military guys and girls, and we've been through a lot, and there, you know, there's nothing the world could throw at us that we can't handle. But sometimes you need to sit back and say, okay, I need some help. And transition is that time where you need some help, because a successful transition really sets you up for life.
Want to support an active duty owned brand? Head over to fortis-fidelis.com. Again, that's fortis-fidelis.com, and help us in honoring the brave and faithful service of our nation's defenders. All proceeds will help us create and provide memorial coins to the families of our fallen service members. Again, that's fortis-fidelis.com, and help Fortis et Fidelis in honoring the brave and faithful.
Yeah, that's a great point. Don't let pride get in the way of your progress. So Matt, before we go into our second segment here, one final question. What's one thing you want our listeners or viewers to take away from this episode?
And if anything, you hear it a lot in the military, and it sounds cliche and it sounds stupid, but positive mental attitude. I really think that positivity can change anything. It can change the person you're talking to. It can change your attitude. And it really does change your outlook on life. And it's not easy. And I don't want it to sound easy, because it is a job. It's a chore to remain positive all the time, because there's so many things that are thrown at us that can get us down. And, you know, but being positive, you know, it's just like staying physically in shape. You know, you go to the gym, you work out, you're working your muscles, you know, you're, you know, working on that lung capacity, you know, you're staying in shape, you're eating the right things. And if you're not, you should be, because that, again, helps you be more positive. Is when you feel good, you're going to mentally feel better.
Yeah.
And, but that positivity is a, you know, you're working out your mental muscle, and your mind has to be worked out just as much as your body. And, you got to make sure that your mind is in shape. And so if you need to talk to somebody, if you need to study, I would say always be learning, and pick something up to just interest you and just start reading about it. And, if you're like me and TBIs have got you to where you can't focus on a book for more than 10 minutes, audiobooks are a great alternative to that. And just work that mental muscle to be as positive as you can all the time, and people will radiate to that. And I think that, you know, a lot of opportunities come from just being positive. The second part of that I would say is don't be out for yourself. Always be looking to help someone else, because it's easy to get focused on our own problems. And I know that from personal experience, it's easy to go internal. Like they talked about in the Marine Corps all the time, you know, he's gone internal. Don't go internal, think external, and look for those around you that need some help, and latch onto them and help them through their time of need, because that's ultimately it's kind of like selfish giving, because it makes you feel better about yourself, and you realize that your problems aren't as big as they seem to be. So and that's been kind of where I've really made progress in my transition, because transition lasts from the day you get out of the Marine Corps all the way through. I mean, that whole time is a transition process till the day they put you in the ground.
Yeah, there is no end to transition.
No, because you know, things are always changing. The civilian life is crazy. You know, things happen. You know, COVID is a perfect example. People get laid off, and you've got to find new ways to do things. And but remaining positive and looking to help others in those instances really will help you out mentally and help you stay more positive, which is ultimately what I think the purpose of what I hope people will get out of this episode.
Yeah, I love that message, man. That's a great message to send. I mean, even though, like you said, it might seem simple, a lot of people don't really stay in that positive mindset, because your mindset, your brain is your strongest muscle. So we should flex it more often.
Absolutely. And think, you know, just use that and work it out, because it is just like the rest of your body. You know, you've got to work it out in order to maintain it.
It's awesome, man. All right. So Matt, so this going into our next episode, this is what I call the Fast Five, same five questions I ask all my guests. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So first question, what's one hobby you enjoy?
Man, hunting is it. That's my favorite pastime. You know, a lot of my friends, you know, if I'm not available for weeks at a time, yep, he's hunting. And I've been fortunate enough, again, through WWO Open Door Outdoors to do that. And kind of set me up to where I've got my own place, which I actually bought back in 2007. Mm. If I'm not home and you can't reach me, there's a pretty high probability that that's where I'm at.
You're out hunting.
I'm hunting or thinking about hunting planning for the next hunting season. That's it.
Awesome, man. So next question here, if you had to choose one person, dead or living, to hang out with for one day, who would it be and why?
Well, I like this question. You know, I'm going to put a caveat out there. So the person that I would like to meet most is obviously Jesus Christ. But I know that at the end of the day, at the end of my road, I'm going to meet him. One person alternate to that would be Phil Robertson. He's the patriarch of the Robertson family, Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, okay.
He's basically kind of, to me, like a very wise individual who started up from rough beginnings and found his passion, which was hunting ducks. He had the opportunity to play professional football. Matter of fact, when he was in college playing football, he started in front of Terry Bradshaw. Mm. Was better than Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw has even said that himself. But his passion was hunting ducks. And so he gave up an NFL career to go hunt ducks. And to me, that is probably the coolest thing in the world. Started building duck calls, and the rest is kind of history, you know, from duck commander and being very successful in the duck call world to Duck Dynasty, the show. And the way that he is with his family, the faith that he has, just to the way that he looks at things, I think is incredibly interesting. And I think he would be an incredible person just to sit down and talk to.
I didn't know about that, his college career, playing with Terry Bradshaw. It's interesting to know.
Yeah.
And again, it just goes back to what you just mentioned, it's passion, right? If you're passionate about something, you know, you might find your calling in that aspect.
Absolutely. Pursue that passion.
All right, so next question, Matt. Recommend a book for our audience to read.
Oh, shoot. I've read a few good ones recently, but I am going to go with, it's called The Last Undercover by Bob Hamer. I've had the opportunity to meet Bob. He came and visited while I was in the hospital and would drop his books off for us to read while we were laid up. And very unassuming guy, very humble guy, and spent 26 years in the FBI as an undercover agent, and wrote a book about his last undercover assignment, which was infiltrating a pedophile ring and getting a bunch of those guys thrown in prison and basically dismantling that group from what it was. They're still active, but they are a fraction of what they once were. And it's not a book for the faint of heart, but you do realize that that those people are out there, and I believe our kids are one of our most valuable assets, and we need to protect those kids and listen to those kids, and you know, prevent that type of trauma from happening to those kids. And that book kind of gives you an insight to that lifestyle and what those people think and how they work. An incredible book. And like I said, not for the faint of heart.
And again, that's The Last Undercover. So make sure you guys check that out.
Yeah.
All right. So next question, what's your favorite quote and why?
Favorite quote. I've been using it now since 2011. And it came to me from one of the Marines that I served with has also written a book. His name's Brandon Dillon. I think the name of his book, and he's going to shoot me if I'm wrong, but I think it's The Mad Ramblings of a Joker. He's an extremely good poet, but I remember no matter what happened, if I was, you know, talking smack to him or somebody else was talking smack to him, he'd bow up and he'd say, "Don't talk about it, be about it." I've used that quote in life. I don't know how many times. It's my favorite quote. Don't talk about it, be about it. You know, I think there's a lot of talk that goes around and not enough doing. And I really appreciate that quote. And coming from a guy like Brandon, it's pretty awesome that he's my favorite quote.
Don't talk about it and be about it. That's plain simple right there.
Yep.
All right, so Matt, last question here. Where do you see yourself in a year, 5 years, or even 10 years from now?
Man, that's a good question. I really feel, in all honesty, that I am where I'm supposed to be. And so I'm probably going to be doing the same thing in 10 years that I'm doing right now. You know, with maybe some minor changes here and there with business and podcast and everything else. You know, maybe something else comes along that I like and I get into that. But I see myself always being there, helping other people, especially on the prosthetic side. The company I work for is absolutely phenomenal. And if anybody out there is struggling with prosthetics, look us up, come see us. We have, we see people from 18 different states, from Hawaii to Alaska to Florida. That come see us here in Wichita, Kansas, for their prosthetic needs. And, you know, I really think that that's really what I'm here to do, because I think I was put through those struggles with prosthetics to know what those people are going through, in order to provide a little bit of hope for them. And to see them, you know, be like, man, I've been everywhere and not having any success. And to come here and walk out and be comfortable and see that light bulb go off. It's a pretty amazing thing to see. And I don't see myself giving that up anytime soon.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Can you just mention again the name of the company? And also tell us a little bit about your podcast that just came out.
Yeah, so it's People's Orthotics and Prosthetics, and it's PEEPLES. And you can find us at peoplesop.com. And shoot, give us a call. 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up talking to me anyway. I'm kind of a patient relations guy.
Okay.
Any questions, just ask for me and I'll be able to guide you through whatever you need. The podcast, it's called it's Hard-Headed Podcast, and it's a group of buddies. We've known each other for a while, and one of them just got laid off during the whole coronavirus deal, lost his job. He was a corporate executive for 20 years with the same company and got laid off, and or not laid off, but got let go. And he was looking for a job, and I tried to do everything in my power, because he's going to listen to this. I'm going to regret my words, but he's an incredibly intelligent individual, and I thought he would be a great benefit to our company. And fortunately, we were able to bring him on board, and we were just sitting there talking one day and talking about the podcast that we like to listen to, and thought that there was room for another one to kind of cover kind of current events. And so we have 3 segments on our podcast. We have a What's On Your Mind. And then we go through a top 3 list where we just pick top 3 anything. And then the 3 of us give our top 3 options in that category. Okay. And then we end with a good word to end everything on a positive note. I think we're up to episode 12 or 13 now. So we haven't been doing it as long as you. But we're trying to figure it out. There's a lot to figure out.
Yeah.
But again, it's just 3 guys. We want our listeners to feel like they're a part of the conversation. And so, if it's available pretty much on any podcast platform, and we just want you to sit back and feel like you're just part of the discussion. And that's kind of our goal.
That's awesome, man. So make sure you guys check that out. Hard-Headed Podcast. Matt, this has been an awesome episode. I appreciate you for sharing your story, and just, having such a great mindset in life. Even though, you had these experiences during deployments, it didn't keep you down. Like I said, you had that positive mental attitude that you always display. And I commend you, man, for what you're doing now, and helping others, and also venturing out and doing your own thing in your business. Before we go here, I just want to ask, where can they stay in touch with you? Where can they find you?
So I'm pretty easy to find. I'm on Facebook. It's just Matt Amos. And then you'll see a picture of me shooting a shotgun. That one's me. Admirals Pennant, www.admiralspennant.com, and then Hard-Headed Podcast on any platform that you listen to. And you can comment on any of those things, and you'll find me. I'm pretty easy guy to find and easy guy to talk to. And I'm not much of a phone call guy, but I am good at emails, texts, and I'm really good at those.
Awesome, man. And again, thank you for your time. I'm honored to serve with you. And guys, make sure you check out admiralspennant.com and also Hard-Headed Podcast on all the podcast platforms. Matt, thank you. And till then, take care.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much. And I appreciate what you do and everything you've done. And I really like what you've going with what you've got going with your mental and physical fitness as well. I think what you're putting out is a great product, and sharing stories of positivity, I think, is what this world needs right now. So I appreciate you, Doc. And good. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of blown away, man. I really appreciate you. I really do.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And like I said, man, anything I can do to help with your podcasts and things like that, just let me know.
You do the same. I appreciate you.
All right, brother. All right, guys. Take care.
Hey, everyone. Raiden here. I just want to thank you for listening to our podcast. And make sure you guys go check out our website, fortis-fidelis.com. Again, that's fortis-fidelis.com, and learn how you can help us support in providing these memorial coins to the families of the fallen. And make sure you guys go follow our social media on Facebook, FRTSFDLS. Again, that's FRTSFDLS. And on Instagram and Twitter at FRTS_FDLS. Again, that's FRTS_FDLS. And make sure you guys go subscribe, review, and leave a comment on our podcast on all the podcast platforms. Till then, take care.